Hey family, welcome to another episode of Mind Daycare Podcast. As I promised, this is my last episode that I will be playing a snippet from my webinar, Slap Anxiety in the Mouth. Thank you for listening to all of them. I had them in consecutive order. Hopefully you were blessed by what I put out. I believe that you were because I was. If you weren't, then I can't refund you anything because it was free. But anywho, I just really appreciate those who listen to me from my heart. I really appreciate it. But you know what, guys? I would appreciate you even more if you go on over to YouTube. If you don't have a YouTube account, get one, okay, so you can follow me. And if you don't have a YouTube account, I think you can still follow me. I think that's how it works, but go to YouTube and follow me at Mind Daycare Podcast. Please do that for me. If I have blessed you in any way, if you even listen to me once and I've said one thing that has blessed you, go on over to YouTube. Let me see my numbers go up a little bit more. I'm trying to grow my YouTube channel. The numbers are scarce right now, but I believe in God. And I have faith in God that what I'm going to start putting out and being consistent on YouTube, that is going to bless somebody. That's really my hope and my desire, because I've been through this, you know, struggle with mental health and managing the mind. And I know what it is to be in it, and I know what it means to be out of it. And I thank God for victory. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. And even if you may not have struggled with anything severely, it just could be just negative talk you may be dealing with all the time, or negative thoughts. And not really building yourself up. At the least, you know, this episode or these episodes could benefit you in that way. But anywho, I just wanted to let you know that much. I hope this episode blessed you, your heart, and all your parts as it did me. And I will see you next week. Hey family, welcome to Mind Daycare Podcast, where we nurse our minds back to better health. I'm your host, Kyra Fisher. Come on in the room and let's get started. Thinking versus thoughts. Again, when you get a thought, you can't control that, but you can control what you think about and your response to the thought. The mind and thinking can change the brain. And you can create new neural pathways or patterns in your brain as you continue to think new healthy thoughts and patterns. You can heal, but it is all in the response. Talk to me, y'all. Say it's all in the response. So remember, the thoughts are not what matter. It's how you respond, your response to the thought. That is the healing of it all. Okay, you must do the work. Tell yourself, you got to do the work. What's the work? You got to work and manage your mind in order for you to have consistent peace. Peace is not going to come to you automatically. No, it's not. I'm trying to tell you. And that's where people lose the battle with their minds. They think this thing is supposed to be automatic. So then when their peace is disrupted, they begin to say, what's wrong with me? I'm going crazy. No. You have to manage your mind. You have to feed your brain. This is why when I get up in the morning, I meditate. I repeat scriptures. I might say a scripture 7 times in a row, like, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. For God is, I literally would say that 7 times. And I may pick another scripture to say it on repeat. Why? Because the other negative stuff is on repeat. Why can't I do the positive stuff on repeat? To combat it so that I can constantly maintain a peaceful mind. I also get up, I study in the morning. I pray in the morning. And if I'm running late, I'll get it in some kind of way, even if it's only five minutes. But I work on my mental health. I work on my peace. It is not automatic. You have got to do the work. The moment we think it's automatic is the moment it will drive us out of control. So it requires practice and patience. Change your response. Don't ruminate or repetitively think on the negative thoughts. That's how you do the work. Change your response is constant. Don't repetitively think on the negative thoughts, and feed your mind and feed your spirit positive things. Okay, so in this walk of healing, You got to live parallel to the anxiety or to the intrusive thoughts. You see them, you hear them in your mind, you visualize them, but don't engage them. Do not respond to them. You see them, but you don't respond. I remember T.D. Jakes said something like this: I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. I hear you, but I'm not going to answer the door. My response is not answering it. My response is not responding to these negative thoughts. My response is I'm not engaging it. I see you, but I'm going to identify you as such. And we're going to get to the steps, and I'm almost done. We're going to get to the steps that you can stick to help you manage your mind and to fight intrusive thoughts. But you're going to see them, y'all. Don't get discouraged because you may see it within the next 2 minutes, or you get up in the morning and it's right there staring you in the face, this intrusive thought. And it could be an intrusive thought of something that actually happened in the past, but you got to live parallel to it, meaning this: you got to be walking toward responding to it in a different way. Even though you see it, respond to it differently. And that's when you'll start seeing the changes. When you are fully awake in the morning, get up. Do not linger in your bed. If you've noticed, if you haven't noticed, if you linger in your bed in the morning and you're fully up and you can't really go back to sleep, get up, because your body is not engaged and your body is not fully alert. These intrusive thoughts, they tend to be really intensive when you first wake up in the morning. If you don't suffer with this, you may know someone who does. So if this information is not for you, trust me, it's for somebody else. Don't lay there and ruminate. It tends to start the moment you open your eyes, and you can defend against it once you're fully up. So get up. Sometimes I might wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning because I got to use the bathroom. That's a whole nother thing as far as how we're going to wind down before we go to sleep. But then, if I can't go back to sleep, I'll get up, open up my Bible, I'll read until I can feel myself winding back down, and I'll go back to sleep. But I get up, I don't just lay there, okay? Unless I feel myself getting ready to go back to sleep. But first thing in the morning, let's get up. Notice that the thoughts are the same themes. Have you noticed that? Most of your negative thoughts are the same thing or the same themes. They have the same theme. If it's a scary thought, typically same theme. If it's a depressive thought, typically the same theme, right? If you notice it, and sometimes the themes may bounce, but they all are, you're familiar with these themes, okay? Let me see, somebody says something in the chat. Yeah, it is all in the response. And if you notice it, it's not thought number one. It's thought number 999,000. Okay. This is going to help you in your response to these thoughts because your brain will respond to it as if it's brand new. But if you just sit there and gather your thoughts and think about what you're thinking about, you hear what I said? Think about what you're thinking about. You'll see that this is thought number 999,000. The scary thoughts are usually about something you really care about. If it's a scary thought, it's usually about someone or something you really care about. Do you understand what I'm saying? This stuff is a pattern. This is why we as social workers and neuroscientists study the patterns of the brain. There is some fact to that. Just like we study the patterns of the physical body and we're able to know when somebody has high blood pressure, heart disease, so on and so forth. There is a such thing as studying the brain, and there are patterns. So if you notice these themes and these negative intrusive thoughts, it's thought number 999,000. That's a great thing to know, you all. Why? Because now you know it ain't you. Not proper English, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's not you. It's not your thought. You didn't conjure up the thought. It's how you responded to the thought. That's why it's 999,000. Your amygdala thinks it's protecting you, and this is why. Let me give you a nugget about the amygdala. If you are a Christian or not a Christian or know anything about the Bible, one of the scriptures in the Bible says that we were shaping in iniquity. And when we came into this world, we were shaping into iniquity, meaning that your body. Right? That's why when we get saved, right? I'm just going down a rabbit hole, but follow me real quick.
When we get saved, our spirit is saved, but our flesh is getting the memo. This is where we have to constantly renew our mind, Romans 12 and 2. This is why we have to constantly walk in the spirit and not the flesh. In the book of Romans, Paul talks about it. Because your flesh is still fleshing. You hear what I'm saying? It is still fleshing. So the amygdala is a what? It's a part of your brain, which is a part of your what? Your flesh. So the amygdala is not even shaping in the spiritual kind of a way it's attached to your flesh. So this is why it's responding the way it's responding. It's thinking it's protecting you and it's not. And you don't need to trip about that. It's just that this is why it's so important for us to continue to manage our mind and to feed our mind and our spirit. But it's attached. And so you want to know, why would the amygdala do that and cause me to be crazy? Because it's attached to your flesh, which was shaping in iniquity. That's a whole nother story. But it's a way to manage it by managing your thoughts. And the last bullet point says, resist, resist, resist rumination, which is what? Repetitive thinking and responding to the body sensations. Okay, it's not just intrusive thoughts to y'all. It's intrusive emotions and intrusive body sensations. Have you ever get the same tense feeling in the same area? That's intrusive too. Don't pay attention to that. It's the way you respond. Don't say, oh my God, I must be stressed out. Here get that feeling again. Or I feel sad. Some, you know, you have to respond to that differently as well. It's all linked, right? So you responded to anything that is not helpful to you. You're resisting it and you're resisting the temptation to repetitively think about it or engage it, okay? And so in my opinion, again, I don't believe in diagnosis. I can go on and on about that. Give me a second. Go to the next one. You must do the work. Come on, say you must do the work. So ERP, I don't want to get into it too deep because I don't want to inundate us with a whole lot of terms. But it just means exposure and response prevention. Meaning when you get the intrusive thought or feelings or sensation, which is the exposure, you're directly exposed to it. All you need to do is learn different techniques to help you not to respond to it. So if you're getting the negative thought all the time, don't feel some kind of way about that. Use that as an opportunity for you to practice responding to it differently. That's all that ERP means. Use the opportunity of being exposed to this repeated, repetitive negative thought that keeps coming to you on automatic. Use that opportunity to practice responding to it differently, right? So how are we responding? Now we get into the grits, ham, and the eggs. These are the steps you need to practice in order to manage our minds. This is where we do the work. So when you get unhealthy thoughts, intrusive thoughts, or ants, automatic negative thoughts, the primary goal, come on, say the primary goal, is for you to stop rumination or stop repetitive thinking on these thoughts. Stop your response to them, period. That is your primary goal. Once you do that, you're starving the negative thoughts and they will eventually die out. Do you get that? So if you don't remember nothing I said, I want you to remember this slide right here. Your primary goal is when that negative, unhealthy thought comes to your mind, is to respond to it differently. And you are responding to it by not repetitively thinking about it and not being concerned about it. You're doing it like, oh, there it is, negative thought. Okay, whatever. This is how we're going to do it right here. Step one, step two, step three, and step four. Step one, when you get the negative thought, the automatic negative thought, intrusive thought, like we call it, you want to identify the thought or the feeling or the emotion. You want to call it out for what it is. You want to say, that's anxiety. As soon as that thought comes, that's anxiety. You want to say it out of your mouth. Why is that so important? Because identifying it lets you know that it is not you. Do you understand? This is very helpful. It is not you. So I think I might have went over. Yeah, I'm gonna give you two more minutes. This is my last slide, so bear with me, you all. I hope it's been helpful. Step two, ignore the thought, feeling, or emotion. Ignore it. You're like, that is too simple. Ignore it. You can, and you're like, I can't ignore it. Oh, yes, you can. If I ask all of you on this call right now to cash at me $1,000, y'all just ignore me right there. You ignore me. You're like, I'm not giving you no money. I don't, you know, you ignore me. You do have the power to ignore. Oh, yeah, you do. So, step one, let's go back. You want to identify the thought, the feeling, or negative emotion as anxiety. When it comes, you say that's anxiety. You want to now ignore it. Don't want to feed it. Don't power it up. Don't start thinking, why am I having this thought again? I'm so tired. Oh, God. No. You're going to acknowledge it as what it is, and you're going to ignore it. You see it. Remember, I said you're going to live parallel. You see it, but you're not looking at it. You're not going to pay attention to it. And how do you do that? You're not going to ask why you're having a thought. You're not going to be fearful of why you're having a thought. You're just going to see it and not pay no attention to it, right? I know it sounds too good to be true, or maybe even difficult, but trust me, it works. Step three. You're going to resist the urge to repetitively think about it. You're going to resist it. Don't, when you see the thought, you say that's anxiety. You're going to ignore the thought and you're going to resist the urge to ruminate or to repetitively think. And you're not going to judge yourself. This is another thing. When you get the thought, don't say, I'm so stupid for having the same thought. I just went through this 2 minutes ago. No, do not judge yourself. I already told you, it's a thought. It's coming on repeat. You can't control the thoughts. Maybe if you wouldn't have engaged it as much as you did, it wouldn't come on repeat. But again, trauma shows up so many things. Just don't be judgmental about yourself. Trust me, this is going to help you. Don't be judgmental about the. Ignore it by continuing doing what you're doing. Resist the urge. So how do you resist it? You don't power it up. Don't analyze it. Don't focus on it. The thoughts itself. Let me go back. Sorry. The thoughts itself, right? Don't ask when am I going to heal, when I'm going to recover. That's another way of powering it up because your brain is like, oh, she's still fearful. If she asks when she's going to get well, don't even pay no attention to it. Don't power it up even that way. Act as if you do not have an issue with negative thoughts. That's scripture, right? Act as if you do not have an issue. And then you're going to just identify it, ignore it. And resist the urge to repetitively think. You're gonna resist compulsions. Now, I really don't get into that. That's not my lane. People who have actual OCD of checking, touching, and because they're responding to the negative thoughts, but this works for that too. You do repetitive actions to find relief, you resist the urge to do those compulsions. And then you're gonna resist reassurance. Don't go researching about negative thoughts on the internet. Don't go talking to people about your negative thoughts or a dream that you had. Don't, that's all the way of powering it up. That's just like that bully, you guys. When you go ask the bully, why are you bullying me? What do you think that bully gonna say to you? Okay, you answer my question. Step four, act as if. We talked about that. Act as if you don't have an issue with intrusive thoughts. You are just managing your mind like everybody else. So step one, identify the thought. Oh, that's anxiety. Say it out loud or, you know, out loud internally. Ignore the thoughts. Okay. Resist the urge to repetitively think about it. Don't power it up. Don't analyze it. Don't say, when is it going to go away? Don't judge yourself. Don't do any of that about the thought. It doesn't exist. Ignore it like you will ignore a bully. Walk right past it. Even though you see it, don't engage it. Okay. And so I have that thing where it says track when you have ruminated. This is not going to be a perfect thing, right? And I'll show you the tracker after I hit the next screen. So the goal is with anxiety and negative thoughts is to have zero repetitive thinking on that particular negative thought or theme that you continually have. That's the goal. Zero seeking reassurance. Asking your husband or your friend, am I okay? I had this thought the other day. Am I okay? No, that's seeking reassurance. That's powering it up. It's a thought number 999,000, you all. Don't seek reassurance, don't power it up. Because what you're telling your brain is it's important. Your amygdala is going to keep giving it to you on repeat. Zero questions regarding when and why you're going to get better. That's powering up because you're talking fear. You want to have zero avoidance, meaning that if, I don't know, let's see, if something on a street triggers you to be fearful, and you avoid that street, your brain is going to give it to you on repeat because you're avoiding it. Because avoidance means you're fearful of it, okay? In your mental capacity, I'm staying there in your mental thoughts. Avoidance is a signal to your amygdala that you're concerned about it, right? So if I'm afraid of a cemetery and I take Connor and not Grasher because there's a cemetery on Grasher, I'm avoiding it. And that's that the very act of avoidance is going to keep you fearful. If you face your fear or face your bully, there we go. You would understand that there's nothing to be afraid of. Like when we got used to dogs, we were afraid of dogs and we got around the dogs and we didn't avoid it. The more we avoided it, it heightened the fear. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we want to get to zero. The goal is zero rumination, zero seeking reassurance, zero questioning when and why, whatever, zero avoidance, zero compulsions for those who, have issues with washing their hands 1,000 times and things like that. This is how you know you're in recovery. Don't feed it, don't give it power. Change your response, and you will continue to find healing. So the rumination tracker, I'll show you. The tracker helps you to get what's in your mind out of your mind on a piece of paper so that your brain can continue to understand and realize what's really going on. These thoughts are not yours. These thoughts are not accurate. And that's how the rumination tracker helps. And I'll show you the handout in a second. Spiritual component, couple of scriptures. But I want you to go all the way down where it says Matthew chapter 4, because I feel like you need a witness to this thing. So remember in Matthew chapter 4, if you don't, Jesus was in the wilderness, right? And so in the wilderness, Satan came to him. He just came from fasting 40 days. And now Satan came with all those propositions. If you be the son of God, take yourself off this mount. If you be the son of God, turn this rock into bread. Can you answer this for me? In that scenario, in that Bible occurrence of history, did it ever say what form Satan was in? Did it ever? Anybody? Did it ever? I'm gonna answer for you, no. But if you go back to Genesis and Adam and Eve, it said that he was a serpent. It quickly identified what form he was in. But in Matthew, it did not. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the enemy was talking to Jesus through his mind. So you are not the only one. That's why Jesus says, I've been tempted on every point. I know what you're going through, right? Because he was in a human form. So I want to let that sit with you so you can understand. And then you can also see how did Jesus combat it. So when he said, it is written, this is my thought pattern on that. When Jesus would tell him it is written, he wasn't necessarily saying that to Satan, to directly to him. Jesus was just stating what the facts were. He saw Satan and he saw what he was saying, but Jesus like, I'm staying right here on the facts and I'm telling myself it is written, right? And so after all of that, what happened? He resisted the enemy and what happened? He fled. Resisting the thoughts, and what happened? They flee. So another scripture, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, and this is my last slide. It says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down is what? It is an action. Casting down imaginations that exalt, it is an action. That's why I said we have to put in the work. Managing the mind is a job. But it's a job that you are well qualified in because God gave us the tools to do that. Go to 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, the first scripture on the list. Paul says, I discipline my body like an athlete, the NLT version. He said, I trained it to do what it should. Come on, Paul, speak that. He said, I discipline my body. What is that? An action, like an athlete, repetitive, and he trains it, and it does what he wants it to do. Not that it won't try to get out of line, but Paul said he died daily. He has to do this thing on a daily occurrence. And when we talked about those steps, identify it, call it out for what it is, ignore it and resist the urge to repent. This is all action steps, and it all lines up with the word of God. So it takes about 63 days to rewire the brain. Repeating and managing processes daily for at least that length of time can make your work stick, the mental work you're doing, for you to notice a change. You will notice a change. Even if you ruminate here and there, if you put in a work, you will see as you continue to go that it gets better. 63 days usually helps build a new neural pathway or new pattern. And this all can reduce the chaotic thought patterns that contribute to anxiety, depression, and stress. I get this from Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's a neuroscientist. She deals with a lot of creating neural pathways. She's great, great information. And I also put it off the website, www.wellandgood.com. Dr. Caroline Leaf is, and she's she bases her neuroscientist theologies and research on biblical principles as well. And so I said that was my last slide, but I lied. But just a couple of things. Sleep is very important, because if you don't get sleep, it will cause these negative thoughts to come harder and so intensified that you feel overwhelmed. You have to have good sleeping habits, good sleeping patterns, winding yourself down early. Look up something on the internet to learn how to wind yourself down. Sleep is very important, you all. This is going to help you win on top of those steps: sleep, exercise, eating better, deep breathing, meditating, having that routine, and spiritually meditating on your words, on God's words, self-care, all of that. Just read down it yourself. Okay, you see that? Limit your stress. Lotion your legs. Yes, I did put that there. Some of us don't even caress ourselves to calm ourselves down. I believe I lotion my legs. I lotion my hands. I take that time out for self-care. Watch something funny. Listen to your favorite song that encourages you. Do whatever calms you down that is healthy. Do it. Journal. Gratitude. This has been a game changer for me. I will not complain. Not saying that I haven't, but when I find myself complaining, I say how many things I'm grateful for. These things of self-care help you win in the battle of managing your mind and your mental health. Gratitude is one of them ones, y'all. I don't know why, it just is. Being thankful is one of them.
Hey, family, thank you for listening to today's show. Please follow us on Facebook at Mind Daycare Podcast. Thank you for joining us today at Mind Daycare Podcast, where we nurse our minds back to better health.